This is an
ENN
special report. Now reporting.
Michael, you into Grandma Pie?
No.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
It's in Pompano Beach.
Mom!
Tom Thibo Diaw.
Now, from the ESPN New York News Desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
You know how to pronounce that coach's name now, Peter.
You know how I pronounce it now?
How?
Winner.
Winner.
Winner, winner.
Chicken dinner.
That's right. That's what I think about when I think about Tom Thibo Diaw. Tom Thibo Diaw. I would like to start off tonight's big ENN program by saying, if I can, good evening to Michael.
You've never been near my fanny.
Then I'd like to say, if I can, good evening to Don.
255. That's when life starts for me.
I'm going to try again. I don't know. Good evening, Don, again.
I started 3.
You know, anything else from Don?
I was in the middle of this really great couch moment.
I don't think we really fully grasp, Peter, that he avoided sitting on a couch for 6 years because he thought it was broken rather than look to see if it was plugged in.
No. See, why do you always dumb it down?
Yeah.
Make me look like an idiot. Of course I went to see that it was plugged in. But I didn't go under the couch.
Why not?
Inner workings, and I saw that there were two wires that came loose, and I plugged them back in.
You
I just
this
figured
was
it was an old couch, probably
Mr.
shot,
Orange?
That's
was,
all.
Was this Mr. Orange that unplugged the...
That's a good question.
Here's the thing, Peter, that bothers Michael.
Okay.
I was doing something that is so beneath him, he would never do it. Like vacuuming under the couch.
I try to fix stuff in the house all the time.
Oh,
I got fail, but I try.
I stumbled upon fixing this. I'm saying this would never happen because you think that, Peter, do you think Michael would ever like lift up the couch and get the vacuum, get on his hands and knees and be vacuuming under the couch?
There's people. I've absolutely done that.
He's got people to do that.
No,
yeah, with Fordham.
Why would I do it at Fordham?
When was the last time you just walked around your house and you just cleaned up? You did dishes, you vacuumed, you picked up, you swept. When was the last time?
Probably 3 days after Christmas.
Wow. So you're a man of the people.
I you know what? I get very fussy sometimes. Sometimes I get slobby, and then I want everything completely in order. So if I have to do it, I do it.
Good for you. I don't know if there's any more there. I'd also say good evening to Michael yet again.
I had to discuss with the book publisher.
Sure. Also, good evening to myself.
Did you hear what Rosenberg said?
Oh, that's
what?
Yesterday. I enjoyed it.
Will you be my friend? Will you tweet me?
Did you get any more Portnoy pushback yesterday?
No. I think that crowd was focused on something else yesterday. We're still going to get a biopic, no? I'd also, if I can, like to say good evening to Jeff Passan.
Farts are so funny.
And what else, Jeff?
Jews love farts.
Wow. He really offered a lot today.
That was a nice, for somebody that was beginning to waver. It was a nice, good first spot for him.
He had to really come correct because, let's be honest, our guy Steve Young has been putting it down. And Don, so just to be clear, Don, I know you're not a fraud, so you obviously meant it. You're sticking with Passan as your number one still.
Yes, but it's very fluid. It's like American Top 40. Like every week we should do this. And what it does is all our regular guests know they better bring it because if they don't, then when we give the list again, then they fall. Like Frank Isola with a bullet today. Right?
Oh, he's great. He's a great.
He's great.
He's great. He knows so much. He's a great talker. He listens to the show.
Good
he's got a chance.
Good with a quip.
Good with a quip.
So I think every Friday ENN after football, because obviously football's got a lot of things in ENN, we should redo our top five guests.
And if you don't a weekly thing. So very fluid.
If you don't like where you finished, you know, you better bring it next time you're on.
By the way, how excited are you guys to find out this weekend's NFL TV lineup?
I'm really not excited at all.
Don?
I mean, there's only six games, Michael. It'll take 2 minutes, and people love it.
It's one of the great parts of the show.
I don't know if people love it. You two love it.
I wonder if tomorrow, if I do a great job, if Marshan will credit me for the effort, you know? and just say, hey.
Michael's sidekick, Peter, actually brought something today.
I started three.
I'm going to unfollow him, I think.
You know what? I couldn't support you anymore. I think it's the right thing for you to do.
I got to tell you, because you were shouting over me when I said this before. There are people that do this for a living that should be excommunicated from journalism. And you're going to knock Andrew Marchand, who at least works hard and makes phone calls and works his butt off. And actually, he's been a supporter of the show for years. That's the guy you want to go up against when there are other people that are so reprehensible that I've changed their last name.
But here's the thing. Don, let me speak. Do you mind if I speak for both of us?
Please.
Because we are just the sidekicks. We don't have names. The reason I think it frustrates Don and myself is because that unlike other people who are miserable, have an axe to grind, whatever, Marchand seems to be a good dude who has reported nicely and fairly on the show. But he takes these little subtle jabs or things that maybe he doesn't think to be anything that are just not particularly kind. So I find it to be more annoying than, say, a just talentless hack like Phil Mushnick.
No, that's not who I was talking about.
Oh, no, you're talking about Neil Best, a.k.a. Neil Wurst.
Right.
But Neil Wurst, you know, took the time to say, you know what, Peter, you have a really fascinating story. What's it like doing Hot 97 in the morning and the K-Show in the afternoon? Let me see what you're about, and wrote a nice article. Andrew Marchand, I'm sure he's a good person. I don't doubt that. But he takes jabs, and when I very politely reached out and said, what gives, man? That wasn't really nice. He was even a bigger jerk back, and all I said was, what gives? I don't Mushnick him. I treat him with human respect. Mushnick I intentionally treat like garbage, but not Marchand.
Please stop.
All I'm going to say is just two things.
Go ahead.
One, we don't need it. All right, so he writes nice things, but I don't care. I write the facts, and if you write the facts, then it's going to be complimentary because the show's great. So, and if you don't think it's great, I don't care. All right? But number two, I don't get the personal shots. But whatever, he doesn't like me, fine. I don't have to like him. But if you are a fan of the show and you say nice things about the show and you refer to me and Peter as sidekicks, then you're taking a shot at us. Because if you love the show so much, you should know that we're more than that. But you want to take your shots, fine. Just before the poop comes out of the dog's hiney onto your paper every day, I'm sure the world will have a nicer place to be.
Wow, you're listen, I recuse myself from any of these comments.
Oh, stop it. Stop.
You got to stop.
We're all big boys here, okay? I write what he wants to write. I don't care, but I don't understand why. I knew the guy, but he likes to take these shots. Fine, well, I'm supposed to sit there and take it? But I'm not going to sit there and kiss his fanny because he might write something nice in the New York Post. We're above that now. We moved on from that. Let Neil Best write what he wants. Let Mushnick write what they want. Let Raceman write what they want. It's not moving the needle.
Tweet that!
A show. We're rated it highly. The show's great. Write a scathing article. Write that I'm a piece of garbage. Write that it's the best show in the world. It doesn't move my needle. It doesn't bother me. But what bothers me is when you claim to be a fan of the show, and I've got Michael Kay talking about, oh, leave him alone. He's a big fan of the show. And then refers to me as a sidekick. Well, then you're taking a shot.
Well, I'm supposed to sit there and let you just take a shot? First of all, he's a journalist. He's not a fan of the show, but he's been fair to the show.
Well, no, he hasn't been fair to me, and that should be enough, all right? So go scratch, all right? I'm done with you.
You're telling me to go scratch, or are you telling him?
But if you want to kiss his fanny because he says nice things about you, you don't need that either. Give me a break already with this garbage. Writing about us. Who am I? I'm nobody. You're writing about me? Go write about what's happening in the world. Do something with your life. Writing about what I'm doing. Writing about what a stupid 4-hour show does.
Well, now that's ridiculous because you're cheapening what we do for a living. We talk about sports.
And today he wrote about how we were a 5-hour show. So it wasn't even accurate. Now, Kyrie Irving.
Today it's accurate. We're a 5-hour show.
No. Don wasn't
accurate.
We're
an hour number five.
No, Don said, forget it. You know what?
I'm a hack.
Kyrie Irving is out tonight. Personal reasons is the word. So, for those of you paying attention and maybe interested in betting the game, or you're just a Nets fan, out for the Knicks tonight. I mean, the Nets tonight. Claxton, right knee. Durant, COVID protocols. Dinwiddie, the torn ACL. Kyrie, personal reasons. Perry, left groin. Tyler Johnson, protocols.
And Richard Jefferson of Yes, unexplained reasons.
So, sort of a weird situation going on with the Nets tonight. Of course, coming off that impressive win the other day. Now, let's talk about an impressive win, shall we? Let's talk about the New York Knickerbockers. They got a big win last night over Utah, same team Brooklyn beat the night before. And let's hear from the Knicks' Austin Rivers on how this Knicks team is just a bit different.
Of course they is a good team. I never say we're nothing else but good. You know what I mean? I don't care who we are, what we are, who we have, don't have. I'll never go onto the floor thinking we don't have a chance to win a game. I don't understand that mindset. I don't understand people who think like that. I've been on bad teams before. This is not one. I can promise you that. I don't know where we'll end up. We have so much work to do. It's really early in the year, but I do know the spirit is different. The willingness to work and learn is different. From management to coaching is different. And this is not the Knicks team that y'all are, you know, whatever y'all have been covering. This is not. You know, we have a whole different thing here. We have a lot of work to do, so I'm not saying we're this, you know. But you can tell when something's going in the right direction, and this is strongly going in that direction.
That's pretty significant. This guy has played for good teams the last 3 years. So
it sounds like he had a vocal editing class from RJ Bell, but hey, we got the point. It was a good message.
What do you mean vocal editing class? I thought he sounded great.
No, I thought it was a little long-winded. I got the point there after a while.
Wow, you guys are really critical guys.
Well, what? Is Austin Rivers going to write a nasty article too?
How about just being a decent human being in 2021?
You know what? That's a fair point. You know what, Michael? It's a fair point by you.
Although, with what's going on, this feels like December 38th of 2020.
Well, that's because people made the mistake of thinking 2021 would be better.
Well, Peter, you tweeted like a warning about that weeks ago.
It was. Like, it didn't take rocket science.
Like changing. So that's my list today on Cinco de Mayo, the 5th of February. I talk so much, I interrupt myself.
That was worth it. That was tremendous. Hey guys, what do you make of this? We haven't had a lot of time to do football today. We've been so Lindor'd out, and then when we're not talking Lindor, we've been talking Knicks.
Or couches.
Or in some cases, couches, or local sports journalist writers. Sports journalism reviewers, I don't know. Saquon Barkley.
Smooth.
Me, Austin Rivers, and RJ Bell, we had class last week, and I just wasn't paying attention. Saquon Barkley and his future has been an interesting subject, of course, because we've long felt that the draft pick came too high, and what do you do? And now he has the terrible injury to come back from. Well, John Mara has spoken on Saquon and his future, and he said pretty clearly, I expect him to be a Giant for a very long time. Gettleman was not asked directly about Saquon, but what do you guys make of Mara himself coming out and saying expect Saquon to be here for a long time?
You have to pay for it. And if you pay him as much money as you pay Ezekiel Elliott, you're not going to be able to spend it on other things. So if that's what he wants to spend it on, then he can spend it on that.
But I think Michael wisely said because he was the second overall pick, they're probably going to feel an obligation to give him the money.
And also, he's a good guy.
Well, and also, yeah.
Great face of the franchise.
He's a tremendous kid. And, you know, for all the things that I've said about running backs and you don't want them, you know, second overall pick and pay them that much money, is that all that being said, he is going to help this offense next year. And he will probably help them to the point where maybe they become a playoff team and there's going to be a lot around his addition, and that's probably going to make it easier for them to pay him, right? Because if he ends up, you know, rushing for 1,500 yards, Giants go 10-6 and win the division, rightly or wrongly, that's going to probably justify them saying, all right, we're going to have to keep this guy because he's had such a great year. And I think Marin knows that's a very good possibility.
I'm going to throw this at you, Don, because you're probably the most football savvy of the three of us, although we're both all brilliant. When you look at Saquon Barkley, does he even scratch the surface of what Ezekiel Elliott is?
Well, they're different type of backs.
Oh, okay, yeah. But in terms of production, does he scratch the surface of what Elliott is to the Cowboys when he was healthy? And really, he's been healthy for 1 year.
The answer is obviously no, but the way the Cowboys were structured, you know, they really relied on him, and he was that type of back where you can give him it 25 times, go right up the middle, you know, that kind of back, where I don't think Saquon's that type of back. I think Saquon's somebody that makes people miss in the backfield, use out of the backfield, throwing the football to him. Peter, I don't think he's a guy that our game plan is going to be, we're going to give him the ball 30 times, we're going to drive it right down your throat. That's not him.
Well, and hold on, but let's be clear. Just, you asked a question, let's answer it. You said, does he scratch the surface on production of Zeke? when he's healthy, you added that caveat.
1 year, he's been healthy. But last year, he played on a high ankle sprain. The first year, he was healthy.
But when he was healthy,
right,
1,300 yards rushing, 11 touchdowns, and 700 yards and 4 touchdowns receiving. That is scratching the surface of what Zeke does.
Yeah,
now, that's 2,000 yards.
That's fair. But the thing that gets me about Saquon, and people always jump me that are big football fans, it's the same thing that got me about Barry Sanders, who's one of the greatest running backs of all time. He's going to have -1, -1, -1, -2, -3, 48. And then the average is going to be decent. But, I don't value that as much as other people do.
All right, let's say, just for the sake of argument, guys, that he hasn't scratched the surface. He's not Ezekiel Elliott. What has Ezekiel Elliott done to put the Cowboys on a level where Nothing. They're competing for a championship?
But they chose to pay him. But he is a great player.
But I know he's a great player. But again, when you build around a running back, it's nice, but it doesn't get you over the top because they got questionable quarterback play, and especially in some
big games.
But
they didn't specifically build around a running back. I mean, Dak Prescott was a really good quarterback, and they have three outstanding wide receivers.
They do, but I think that really helped Prescott, knowing that he had the running game to fall back on. But still, it's a team that they don't win in the playoffs. You know, they're not guaranteed a playoff spot. They're like an 8-9 win team that can possibly win 10 and go to the playoffs and lose in the first round. I mean, that's kind of what they've been with Ezekiel Elliott. That's why I'm saying the running back position, Tennessee's made it work, right? Tennessee's the one team that it really seems they are driven by their running back. But the quarterback still has played well. Tannehill has still played well. And we'll see. They got to the championship game last year. We will see if that can drive them again to a championship. But the running back position, even if he plays great, what does that guarantee you if you don't get the quarterback play? If you don't get wide receivers involved, your defense doesn't step up. Those are the things that you got to look for if you really want to win a championship.
Buffalo Bills. I don't want to say what my leanings are, but I'm liking Buffalo right now. Don and I have talked about how good we think Buffalo is.
You know, Steve Cerby in the Post today made picks throughout the entire postseason, has Buffalo winning the Super Bowl. So he's in lockstep with you guys.
Mm-hmm. Well, Steve, Don, myself may all want to take notice of the fact that Stephon Diggs and Cole Beasley are both questionable for the game against the Colts this weekend. Stephon's dealing with an oblique and Cole Beasley with a knee. Now, listen, it's Thursday. They're questionable for Saturday. We'll see what happens. But something to pay attention to.
You know what, Peter, the game's Saturday. You know, so Thursday, you know, what's going to change
Friday.
Dramatically?
Thursday's Friday. A normal Friday.
Right. So if we're talking about a questionable on Friday when we're making our picks, you don't think that could sway you?
Oh, no, it could. It could. Diggs-Allen connection is a big part of what makes this team special.
You have more, obviously, right, Peter?
ENN?
Yeah.
Well, of course I just
scratched. All right, so let's make it a two-parter. Let's take a brief time out, towel off, maybe even shower off if you like, and we'll come back with more of ENN right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
It doesn't move my needle.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Part two of ENN starts right now.
That's right, on the Michael K. Show on Yes and 98.7 ESPN. I have a big announcement here, guys. Big announcement.
Oh, no.
Yeah, this is big. Starting Monday, I am going back to the Peter Rosenberg of pre-COVID semi-formal wear every day.
Why is this?
I've just had enough. I sometimes look at myself and I feel like Ray, and I think of Ray, and I just am like, you look like a sloppy pig. And it is a little...
I think it's the arm hair.
No, see, that's, you know, you're a bad guy. because I don't have a problem with the arm hair. It's just like, don't get me wrong, this is a Fire Techniques vintage shirt. I love it. But when I look at myself on TV, it's like, if you were to see me in the street wearing this Techniques shirt, you'd be like, oh, that's Rosenberg wearing a vintage Techniques shirt. It makes sense. It's a Saturday. He's shopping. But on TV, I look like a sloppy pig, and I've had enough. And, you know, I've lost a lot of weight since last year, and I'm ruining it. I'm not even showing off how I look because I'm dressed like a sloppy pig. Now, Fridays, I will still do casual Fridays in some sort of way. But you remember when you thought there was something going on with me because I started wearing suits all the time?
Right.
There was nothing going on. I just didn't want to feel like a sloppy pig.
Can you do me one favor on one of your casual Fridays? And I'll actually purchase the item for you to wear.
Okay.
One of those fishnet T-shirts.
Why did that cross your mind?
I would like to see you in that for 4 hours.
That is an interesting take by you. I thought it would be ironic if for one of my casual Friday outfits, I wore a picture of me eating the ice cream cone that got Ray so upset and wrote sloppy pig on the shirt.
And you know what? You could actually sell those.
You think people would like that?
I think we should start a TMKS market where we could sell T-shirts like that. We'll get Graphics Joker involved.
Would you want to do this for money or charity?
Both.
Yeah, we could do the
like Don's cameo
charity.
Both. What do you say, Don?
My brother does very well with his marketing.
Really?
Yeah.
We got big hats for big heads.
Hey, guys, the shakeup in Philadelphia is on.
What's happening?
Senior offensive assistant, Rich Scangarello, who I'm a huge fan of, and senior offensive consultant, Marty Morningwig.
Morningwig.
Oh, that's Morningwig. You're right. I do know his name.
What a mess.
It had a red line through it, so I couldn't read it very well. They're already on expiring contracts, and they're out, according to Mort. So that comes after we learn that Jim Schwartz won't be back in 2021. Andrew, what a long way away from 2017 we are, aren't we?
He's just gone away, Andrew, a lot.
Yeah, well, that's how down he is.
Just take the L.
Right. How do you really... But let's go... We can just talk to him in drops. Andrew, how do you really feel about the Eagles' demise?
God hates me.
Yeah. You think they'll be back anytime soon?
You'll ruin everything.
Yeah. It's unfortunate.
It's not fair.
Yeah, it's also sad.
Is it?
No, I love it. I hated when the Eagles won. I really enjoyed that they were stuck in our division and never had a Super Bowl. Like, I really enjoyed that no matter how bad Washington was, if an Eagles fan talked trash, I could just go win a Super Bowl.
I get it, but I was just so happy for Andrew.
I know. Don, what's this? Hold on. There's a lot to get to here, still, guys. Let me move.
Well, then get to it.
Sorry. Did you hear that the first female assistant in the NFL and the first openly gay coach is not returning to the 49ers?
No.
Katie Sowers is
why?
She went on social media and she said, "Dear Faithful, we've been through so much together over the last 4 years, and words will never express how much your love and acceptance meant to me. I will forever cherish the memories and hearing your stories throughout the years. Together, we made a difference in this world. You were there every step of the way, from my first day at Levi's to the Super Bowl, and even when my dad passed away, you all supported me through it all. Change is inevitable in life. Enjoy every minute and cherish the memories because time will pass you by faster than you know. One last walk out of the tunnel. I'm forever grateful for my time in San Francisco until we meet again."
Now, you probably know her from, I forget what computer. It wasn't an iPad, but it was a computer commercial.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yep.
The Microsoft.
Yeah, there you go.
What's
one
a computer
in the NFL?
Right. I like that commercial. The Steelers Browns game this weekend will be limited to family and friends at Heinz Field. I don't know. It might be something to do with the fact that yesterday was the most deadly day from the pandemic yet in this country. So there's a maximum capacity of 2,500 in the building, including coaches, players, and support staff. So it's just going to be friends and family for the Browns and Steelers. Don't you hope that leads to like a big friends and family brawl after the game?
Well, what I don't understand, Like, if my brother was playing in that game and said, you know, hey, Mike, you could be part of the friends and family in the stadium. No, I'm good. I'll watch on TV. Go get him, bud.
I'm with you. Well, why? So I can be close to other people and sit in an empty stadium?
What do I need it for? It's going to be freezing. I don't need to be close to people. I'll watch it on TV and see it better. Thanks,
yeah,
bud.
Yeah, but if it's one of those... But wait a minute. All right? You go out and get groceries. You go to the shopping,
The only place I have gone in 9 months is CVS. That's it. That's the only place.
So you've got an Heinz Field holds, what, 60, 70,000 people?
Right.
All right? It's friends and families. How many people is it going to be? Maybe 100?
He said 2,500 people.
No, that's counting the players, the staff. I mean, how many people are going to, even if it's 2,500 people in the stands, which it will not be, because it's at least 100 players, right? Plus all the coaches, all the staff. So, you know, you have the whole stadium. Go sit in the upper deck by yourself.
I'd say no. I'm good, thanks.
Well, then you're not a good friend or a family member.
I'm a great family member, but I'll watch intently on TV.
But there's no, Don, there's no atmosphere. There's no nothing. Like, it's a rare time.
In fact, it's dystopian and depressing.
Yeah, but wait a minute. You go see your son play Little League. There's not 50,000 people there. You know, if your son or your brother...
Yeah, but you're not used to your son playing in front of 50,000 people. I mean...
Hey, I'm just saying, I think you could do it if there's like nobody, have a whole section to yourself. There's not going to be any traffic. Walk to your car. You don't have to be in contact with anybody.
Let's be honest. It might be the best way to go to a football game.
Yeah.
Did you hear what Sean Payton proposed?
No.
He said that the Mercedes-Benz Superdome should be filled for the game. And everybody that would have a ticket would be tested and would have to stay in a hotel for 7 days before going to the game.
And this is somebody who had it, so right. I guess does he have more of a
that's
say?
But that's not realistic.
It's not realistic. And I
think a lot of people would sign up for that. They would be like quarantined for a week if they could go to a game.
I don't know. You keep saying that, Michael. I don't know. I don't know how people feel anymore about going to these games. I mean, you had a whole season where you didn't go.
Hey, guys, did you hear the news that Francisco Lindor and Carlos Carrasco are coming from the Indians to the Mets?
Heard a little bit of a
little bit of news. Carrasco, his nickname is Cookie.
Oh,
and the reason...
We have a drop for that.
The nickname is Cookie.
Yeah.
Because when he was a rookie, he used to eat cookies on the plane. Players come up with the greatest nicknames.
No, cookies!
Like Nooney.
I have a feeling that he didn't stop eating the cookies after his rookie year.
Mm-hmm.
What's the matter with a nice cookie?
Don, true words have never come out of your mouth. Let's hear from Sandy Alderson earlier on the acquisition of the superstar, Francisco Lindor.
There are some players, many players, that you watch and you appreciate. There are other players you watch and you smile. And that smile is not just... you know, a function of appreciation, but also kind of an empathetic reaction to how they play the game. And I think Lindor's the kind of player that makes one smile.
I think that's a good definition for the show, too.
Beautiful.
I smile a lot during the show.
Now, I'm not saying you are listeners. Who cares if you smile? What a self-centered... it's a bad week for you.
Did it deserve an attack, Peter? I said I smile a lot, meaning I find myself listening as much as participating, and I really enjoy what we do. God, I swear, Michael.
Yeah, he's got a problem.
You know that this has been nasty, Don, all week. Don't put it on me.
How is it? Name one time I was nasty, and it wasn't deserving.
I'm not gonna debate that with you. I don't have the time or the energy.
A coach, an assistant coach at Tennessee Chattanooga, has been let go after this tweet. Congratulations to the state of Georgia and Fat Albert at Stacey Abrams, because you have truly shown America the true works of cheating in an election. Enjoy the buffet, big girl. You earned it. Hope the money was good. Still not governor. He was fired momentarily after that. And his Twitter account has since been deleted.
How do you think that's a good idea?
Yeah, I was just going to say.
I know.
how no matter where you land in the political spectrum,
right.
Where would you think as a football coach of young men that right. you of anybody that you would sit there and go, this is weird. I'm going to hit send because this looks like a good idea. What an idiot.
And even if it had been similar on the other side of it.
Of course.
Like it's not the political view. It's how far he went, knowing he has a I don't know how high profile a job, but certainly in that particular area it is. God, people are dumb.
And Bradley Beal dropped 60 against the Sixers in a loss, which is all the Wizards do. 141 to 136 at Wells Fargo Center. Beal said after the game, I'm pissed off. I'm mad. I don't count any of my career highs. They've been in losses, so I don't give a damn. You can throw it right out the window with the other two or three that I've had.
Love that attitude.
What a beautiful attitude. It might not mean it, but what a great thing to say publicly.
They are so bad, guys. They are so bad. How
Philly's
lucky?
Good. Philly 6-1.
7-1, I think.
Andrew?
7-1, yeah.
And Andrew, have the Wizards won a second game?
Yeah, they're 2-6 so far.
It's not what you want. But guess what? That will do it for ENN on this, a Thursday evening.
Well, we have something that always spices up the show. The great Chris Carlin is going to join us. He'll give us a little taste of his feelings about the Lindor trade. Now, usually Chris flies in the face of what most people believe. I wonder if he hates this deal.
He didn't hate it, but he's got some things to say.
All right, and he'll have his whole show to say it starting at 7. But you'll get a little dainty taste of it coming up in just a moment.
Okay.
I wonder if that will move Don's needle, because a lot of people on Twitter, what does move Don's needle?
A lot of things.
I don't feel comfortable trying to move Don's needle.
That couch does, now that it works. Oh, yeah. Kay LeGreco, Rosenberg, soon to be Carlin and you right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
I'm a hack.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.